is the Go Blue Crew.
Well, and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Sorry, it's been... How long has it been? I should have like had that top of mind.
Maybe about a month.
About a month. Pre-Rose Bowl. Definitely wanted to get back after Michigan won the Rose Bowl. But for longtime listeners, you'll know maybe that I've got a one-month-old at home now, which makes scheduling time to do a podcast really inconvenient. And to be frank, no offense, Derek, it wasn't at the very top of my list of things to, you know, figure out in my new life. So it's working now.
Hey, I don't have a one-month-old to hang out with, or I guess 1 month of that time, right?
Yeah, it's...
I did go to the Rose Bowl. My plan with a special guest was to recap the Rose Bowl. And my special guest and I...
Why didn't that happen?
Got really sick. And honestly, you know, we were fine, but barely recovered to feel healthy for the national championship. It was a good week, you know, only about a week, between games exactly. It took about a good week to basically hit when we got back from California, basically just flew. She had gone into urgent care. My special guest is my wife, by the way. We'll just get that out there. She was really excited.
She was really excited.
I'll have to piece it together potentially, but we did a whole bit driving into the golf course and everything from the phone, and I was going to transfer. We had some great ideas.
That's cool.
Just when you're in California and you're there for the Rose Bowl and you're there hanging out after, and then you get sick. Again, not the excuse you have. Yours is much more legitimate, but
both very real.
Pull it together that week in between, and then honestly, man, I just was loving life after the national championship, and then just kind of got salty with all the ups and downs of the off-season stuff, and really, more than anything, I couldn't do it without you. Couldn't talk about a national championship without my counterpart, so here we are.
For you, getting to the Rose Bowl versus watching the national championship at home, I assume at home or somewhere else. Okay, so... I did think about you because for me personally, the Rose Bowl was much more emotional. And I think it had to do with the fact that it was like a close game in doubt. And it really felt like Michigan was kind of lucky at the end. Like you just, in my case anyway, I was like, there's no way this happens. And I can compare the two, watch both at home, cheered basically in silence, which was really weird. The national championship almost felt like a little, at the end, kind of melodramatic. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it was a little bit of shock too. But just compared to the Rose Bowl, I mean, the Rose Bowl was like peak. What in the world is happening? I'm going crazy right now. You having been there and then watching the national championship, what are the differences and how you were feeling emotionally?
Yeah. I'll share kind of my thoughts and then back it up with somebody else's experience that I know well. My thoughts are, you know, my wife and I got the better of the two games by far, better of the two environments, I would say by far. I just feel like the Rose Bowl being the Rose Bowl, really everything other than getting into the place. I think there was a 2 p.m. local kickoff. I think we headed towards the gates. We were tailgating nearby. 12:30, there was no organization, no traffic flow, traffic cops. It was everybody funneling in from all directions. Then you get into the stadium. We were on the home side behind the main press box. It is just shoulder to shoulder standing. There's no flow. And I mean, we barely made kickoff, it felt like. And that was an hour and a half, you know, and it's similar in the way to Michigan Stadium. You know, the concourse is out in the open instead of underneath the press box and the pillars and the brick, but I've never had that trouble getting into Michigan Stadium, even Michigan, Ohio State, you know, more people than at the Rose Bowl, at least in the stadium. actually pretty well maintained, and the flow was good. So that was kind of a, like, for a premier event in a college football playoff, you kind of started disappointed, like, what is this? Like, we can't figure out something better than this. But
I wonder if it's like that every year.
I would have to look up and see if anyone else has that issue. But, you know, from JJ's first throw looking like it was picked off to a muffed punt right in front of us to the two touchdowns, the one to tie, the one to go ahead in the end zone, we were behind. And then obviously the same play where Jalen Milroe doesn't get the fourth down conversion. It happened all right in front of us. You know, end zone seats, wow. You know, can be hit or miss. But when it goes into overtime and that's the end zone that's picked, it works out actually really well.
Yeah.
But, dude, no, to go from that to watching on TV, and again, coming off of a sickness, we were good enough to eat a bunch of food, and I was good enough to have, you know, a beverage or two. It just, something about it felt like anticlimactic. Like, it felt like I had been to the highest of high. That even though it was a national championship, I like couldn't lock in a way that I thought I would be able to. And this is not to, you know, toot my horn or anything, but because I went to Michigan, Ohio State too, I really did feel like I had been to the two best games of the year. And it just, I think I texted you this. I had this weird confidence going into the national championship that Michigan was just going to do it because of what they did in the Rose Bowl. And yeah, I mean, obviously exciting. I was super ecstatic before, during, and especially after, but it almost felt like you knew that was going to happen at that point. And then to kind of back it up real quick, my boss, a Michigan alum, went to both. So he pulled off both trips. And he just said the Rose Bowl in terms of atmosphere, just so much more of a college atmosphere, a college football game. And then obviously, you know, the national championship, pretty good split crowd, pretty dominant Michigan, it sounded like. But, you know, definitely a national championship game where you've got a bunch of randoms there with money and the atmosphere, you know, the alumni tailgates around like hotel conference floors. It was raining outside, so there wasn't like tailgating. So, again, loved being there, I'm sure. But he said the atmosphere at the Rose Bowl was just a little bit better. And so, yeah, I feel like I went to the right game. And I guess if they lost, maybe I went to the wrong game and spent too much money. But, yeah, I mean, but a national championship, I'd like to know your thoughts on this soon.
Okay.
surreal is not the right word because it felt like it was destined to happen after the Rose Bowl for me. But maybe it's just everything that's going on, even as we speak, Wednesday evening. Something just feels so off now. Like, maybe it's the business is finished thing. It feels like a
that's
chapter.
Where I was going.
It feels like a chapter has closed. And so now when I look back, I really do feel like that elevates the Rose Bowl to another tier of like, did I see the last of, you know, like something really historic for this current era specifically?
That's exactly where I was going with it, because I've been saying, especially after the wins against Ohio State and beating Iowa in the Big Ten Championship, the reason all of this is so important is because it's not just face value beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten, going to the Rose Bowl, beating, like, all that's great on its face, obviously, but a window is closing on this program, and I'm not saying, like, the door is shutting. I think next season is the start of a test of like, is Michigan a dynasty or did Michigan pull off a really good 3-year run? And we may have to just be happy and content with a really good 3-year run. But it, you know, if Michigan didn't do those things, it would have felt like the ultimate wasted opportunity to have that roster, to have your, you know, your star, coach coming back and like finally doing this thing after, you know, what, 10 years. It really felt like this was it. And if you didn't do it, well, shoot, like 3 good years that didn't culminate in everything you wanted. Instead, it did. And maybe that's why everything you're saying about a little anticlimactic and all that, maybe that's where that's coming from, because business really is finished now for this iteration of the Michigan football program. and a new one's going to have to take over next year with or without Jim Harbaugh. And they'll probably be, you know, baseline, just projecting a roster, like they'll be good. But do they keep up, you know, a 10, 11, 12 win pace? That kind of thing is still way up in the air, and especially given, you know, the really tough schedule coming up. So I'm going to guess with a high-ish level of confidence that for you and me and everybody else who's, you know, going through or went through like that similar emotional trajectory from winning the Big Ten to, you know, or before that beating Ohio State, you know, to the Rose Bowl to a national championship, I think that's where that's coming from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, too, you look at Michigan's three-year run, it feels, you know, like Jim Harbaugh, the first coach specifically because of coaching changes to win three Big Ten championships in a row, the three playoff appearances, obviously, you know, losing the first two semifinals and then finally getting that, I mean, just a marquee, great win over Alabama, Saban's last game, which makes it all the more special, and then obviously winning the national championship. But you do kind of look at, you know, the 10 years or whatever it was of the 4-team playoff, which is now changing, which is a whole another off-season conversation we'll have. You start to kind of compare, okay, who is Michigan compared to these other teams? Are they the Clemson who, you know, was making it consistently, maybe lost to an Alabama, and then finally beat them, and then returned again to do it, I think, 2 years later? Definitely not the Alabama who's basically appeared in all of them but two. Not quite to the level of Ohio State in terms of the amount of appearances. You know, Ohio State was really running the table there for a while until Michigan found a way to beat them. But
and they're bigger a clear than, dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, they're bigger than the one time TCU in the championship, or obviously the teams like Cincinnati, Notre Dame, who have had opportunities and not really gotten back. But I think it's unique because, more than it being three times in 10 years, it's 3 years in a row with the last one being a national championship. And so, you know, I think you're right on the cusp of dynasty. And if you throw in the fact that Harbaugh has had some other good seasons and was maybe one win, sometimes one play away from potentially and likely being Big Ten champions other years, just because of how the divisions have been just so uneven. I think dynasty is like it's kind of there if you want it to be looking back. But, yeah, the question mark is moving forward. What happens coaching-wise? What happens, you know, on the field? Can they beat enough teams to make a 12-team? What does it mean to make the 12-team compared to the 4-team? And so I guess maybe my opinion would be if you look back at the college football playoff since it started in the 4 teams, you could probably say that Michigan had a dynasty for those 10 years because with 3 appearances in a national championship, they've done something that, you know, obviously not everybody has done. And so, and one of 2 Big Ten teams to do it, Big Ten started it, Big Ten finished it. And again, everything changes moving next year. So I think if you look back, you could start to talk dynasty. It just took them a while to get to the top of, you know, the cream of the crop and lead college football into the offseason as champions. But again, it almost becomes anticlimactic immediately when you've got a guy like Jim Harbaugh really not even seeming to be doing his actual day job. Like, that's just a thought I had today, is like,
yeah,
oh, he might be back in Ann Arbor, he might not be. And it's like, dude is like the head football coach of a national championship program. And I feel like Nick Saban's probably done more for Alabama since retiring than Jim Harbaugh has done for Michigan. And that's just me, like, just saying that almost to be funny. But
yeah,
it's almost like he's in his own little off season, like not doing anything but pursuing other things. And that's not the regular everyday world. Like, we can't go pursue multiple jobs in an open fashion necessarily where we can be like, hey, current boss, let me take this, like, after this big project and leading the company to all this success, let me take like 2 weeks to just go feel out all of these other jobs. Like, it just feels so weird. And I had that thought today of, dude is like, he's not even really working right now.
It's a different world.
He's just living his own life to see what the next best choice for him is. So All that to say, though, I feel like it's kind of been Debbie Downer in a way. Like, Michigan's a freaking national champion. Like, when we started this in our volunteer days, I think there were years where we had our predictions, and I think we always, you know, probably predicted a loss or two. You know, some years where you predicted like 5 or 6 losses. But I don't know that did we predict national champions this year? I think we predicted wins against Ohio State early season. Or maybe
national champion probably would have been going too far.
I think that we were thinking college football playoff.
Yeah.
And hopefully you get that one win. And I think if you would have told me it would have been at the beginning of the season, Michigan, Alabama, no matter what the ranking is, I probably would have said, wow, like awesome that they made it back to the college football playoff, but that one win's going to be tough. And really to come full circle, that's what makes that game in overtime, nonetheless, at the Rose Bowl, just so special.
Yeah. I got a couple minutes here, and I want to shift to basketball, not to talk about what's going on the court. That's obviously
let's get disaster. Really positive here.
But it occurred to me, I've got some ideas of how to salvage the season, if you're interested in hearing
that. I need anything you can give me. I had to turn off Peacock, such a terrible basketball production. I had to turn it off 8 minutes, 6 minutes to go. I couldn't see it through. So give it to me. Lay it on me.
Michigan needs to commit to a bid. And by that I mean, like, Terrace Reed Jr. needs to be a stretch 5 the rest of the season. Like, he needs to be putting up 5 to 7 threes a game. Channel that inner Mo Wagner. Trey Jackson, when he is healthy, put him on the court with a quota. 3 highlight dunks. And I'm talking open floor, like, slam dunk contest kind of stuff, or on top of somebody. Whatever you pick, like, Michigan just needs to bring some kind of entertainment value to the rest of the season, because you're going to go like get beat by 30 or whatever to Purdue. Nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to play through that. Nobody wants to coach that. But just imagine, Derek, if you will, Michigan loses by 30, but Terrace Reed Jr., every possession, you're like, is he going to do it again? Because he's stepping out and taking threes as part of the offense. So if Michigan can just find a bit to commit to for the rest of the season and do it straight-faced, like maybe never even acknowledge it, I think that'd be a way to salvage the season. What do you think?
I think those are all great ideas, and it's made me, you know, I guess I want to share my own. What if they took a whole different approach, and instead of, you know, maybe the I think something needs to happen from within the team on the court. But what if you took like the, you know, everyone was really cheering to get the free chicken nuggets or whatever it was last night. Wingstop has the famous, five free wings when the Pistons actually win, which has only happened 4 times at this point in the season. Like, what if it just like, again, the team itself, even like, you know, the social team, the marketing team is not going to like make fun of their own team. So maybe that would be a different business that has to do that. But, you know, can the fans show up to get something if like maybe something that hasn't happened that often happens, like Michigan wins the first half? Like, can we get, you know,
or wins
free
the second
cottage
half.
Inn pizza or like wins the second half but lose? Yeah, just give us something that can just get the crowd into it. And I don't think it was a bad crowd during MLK Day when they beat Ohio State, which was actually a pretty impressive win. But it's just, I think, what, Illinois came in a few days later, and it probably was a later one per usual. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't remember now. But just no one is showing up. It's cold. It's slushy out today, freezing rain the other day in Michigan, probably similar where you're at. Like, it's like no one cares. And so they need something, whether it's on the court, from the marketing team, from a nearby business. Like, don't want to mock anybody, but
no,
give fans, players, fans in the arena at least something to be be excited about because, yeah, I said this pre-show. I don't think I was expecting 7-12 at this point of the season because you would have hoped that they would have taken care of business more so in the non-conference and maybe won a few more conference games, but it's looking bad.
It's looking real bad, and we will have to like talk about that seriously at some point and discuss Juwan Howard's future.
Do we have to?
Sure, I don't know.
Here's we will.
Last thing I want to put in your head.
Yeah, go ahead.
Imagine you show up to a game, and like as part of your entrance, you make a non-money bet. It's like Jace Howard over under 2.5 3-point attempts. And like that's what you're paying attention to. And so you'll glance up occasionally and be like, oh shoot, Michigan's down 15. But like you're so focused on Jace Howard 3-point attempts, you know, it's like a little distraction. Mm-hmm. And then there's some kind of reward. I think that goes with what you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, give us a reason to like show up and pay attention to be interested.
That's what I want. I don't know if Jace Howard's on DraftKings or ESPN Bet or any. Like, can I put Jace Howard 3-pointer down? Put some money down on that anywhere? You think?
I don't see why not.
Because for my own entertainment, like now I'm just thinking selfishly. Like maybe I just need to be betting on Michigan basketball. That could be such a double negative makes it positive. Uh-huh. But imagine losing money because Jace Howard doesn't hit a three and Michigan loses by 25.
I know. That's you're playing with fire at that point. Think of a couple more ways, and I will too, of maybe ways to salvage the season just from a pure like entertainment standpoint. And we can come back at some point and discuss them. And then if we really like where we're going, let's get that marketing team on the phone. Let's say, hey, look.
Let's bring them on the show, too.
Let's bring them on. Say, we've got some ideas. We know things aren't going well. Tell us what you think. Just throw it at them. Fastball. What's your gut reaction?
I'm down.
I think it could work.
I think that they would probably listen, too.
They'd listen for sure.
They need something. We need something. I mean, I'll end with this. I don't care what it is, even what sport it comes from. But after and as a Lions fan, really living a high in terms of the football
absolutely.
World. But now that the national championship's done, kind of the celebrating, still watching this play, ha ha ha. I'm kind of over that. You know, there's a lot of fans still kind of doing that. I'm ready to kind of, you know, get into gear and think about the future. I just need something positive. I don't care what it is, what sport. Give me some positive Michigan news. Give us something really positive to talk about. Would be my only ask for maybe say February.
Okay. So for February, let's definitely be on the lookout for that big positive thing. Even if we have to spin it a little bit and we can come back and just really celebrate it.
I'm in.
I'm not going to promise, though, when I'm
back. We moving forward in 2024, glad to be here. Probably will make no promises on when we'll be back.
That's the motto this year, no promises. No
promises might change the show. No promises.
No promises. Well, be on the lookout then, I guess, for some positive stuff. And we'll get back and at some point, you know, really we'll have confetti poppers and all that. And we'll just celebrate. It'll be good. Until then, take care out there. Go Blue.
Go Blue.